Welcome to the Be Fit to Sit podcast. I'm your host, physiotherapist Kim Siddons, and I hope to equip and encourage you as we talk about healthy exercise, ergonomics, posture, and practical self-care strategies to help you feel and function your best at your desk and beyond. So if you, your family, or your colleagues spend a fair bit of time at your desk or using screens, tune in because this podcast is for you. Hello there, I'm physiotherapist Kim Siddons, and welcome to this very first episode of the Be Fit to Sit podcast. I'm so excited to be able to share my expertise in the area of equipping and empowering you to feel amazing at your desk. You might be a student who's learning and studying. You might be a teacher who's supporting those students, or a parent who's helping support students who still spends a fair bit of time at their desk. Or you might be a worker who's working from home or working in a traditional office environment, or who is a team leader who also spends a fair bit of time at their desk. Welcome to you all. I'm really excited about being able to help you feel more energized, improve your productivity, help you out with posture tips that are not only going to help you feel more confident in your posture and more flexible, but take strain off your body so you can feel amazing. I'm also looking forward to sharing with you some ergonomics tips. And ergonomics is just how you set yourself up for success at your desk, rather than having to succumb to unhealthy workflows and unhealthy furniture that's putting extra strain on your body. So I'm also looking forward to sharing with you some of my best anti-slouching exercises that relieve pain and strain from your body, and also some specialized stretches that are particularly helpful for people who spend a fair bit of time on computers, different devices, and in different environments. We have different strains on our body, so there's specific things that can definitely help you. I also really would like to share with you sustainable self-care habits. Yes, the self-care word is a buzzword, but it doesn't have to be expensive, tricky, or time-consuming. We are all busy and wear many hats. So I'd love to share with you my time-saving self-care strategies that really help you bolster your health and get the best out of your body in the least amount of time. So I thought I'd share with you just briefly a little bit of my background and why I wanted to share this podcast with you in the first place, and also talk about what it means to be fit to sit. So the heart behind the Be Fit to Sit movement really came from when I started to see a lot of students and a lot of workers, as I worked in a physiotherapy clinic surrounded by office buildings and some private schools. So I've been a physiotherapist for about 25 years now, and I've spent most of that time working in the area of musculoskeletal physiotherapy and sports and exercise physiotherapy. Many years ago, my kids refer to it as the olden days, I was working not only in a private practice setting with traditional sports injuries and everyday people like workers and students and parents coming in with their aches and pains, but I was also working with elite sporting teams like the Australian Women's Cricket Team, the Australian Women's Water Polo Team, other elite sporting teams, where we're really able to gain experience in helping people not only prevent injuries and manage injuries, but get the best out of their bodies. Now, when my family moved back to Australia and Adelaide about 6 years ago, I was really fortunate to be offered a job in a sports injury clinic in the city. I'm working mum hours now because all my kids are at school. And so I found that working those daytime hours in a clinic that was surrounded by office buildings and also some schools across the road, I started to see different clientele, not necessarily elite athletes, but people who were spending a lot of time sitting at desks. So desk workers predominantly, and also students that were working away and learning in the sitting position. And I really started to notice some common themes about the aches and pains that they were coming in and presenting with. And after a while, I decided to upskill in the area of occupational health physiotherapy. And I found that bringing together my experience in that high performance physiotherapy arena with occupational health physiotherapy, I had a bit of a different take on how to actually approach the management of the aches and pains and the problems that people were coming in with. I also noticed that they tended to be coming in with problems that were mostly really preventable. And so I started to think about ways that I could help them to be set up to not only address what they were coming in with, but to set them up for success so they didn't keep having this recurring theme. You would be surprised how many people come in to see me and still do today saying, oh yes, I'm just here for my normal neck that just flares up every now and then. Oh yeah, it's my typical back pain. Oh gosh, my headaches are back again. It's just the same old thing rearing its head because I'm stressed. That type of report is really familiar to physiotherapists because people say that to us all the time. And it's really sad because a lot of those things can be, with the right advice and the right self-care strategies, can be prevented, and that cycle can be broken from just putting up with the same old pain and strain that you always had. One particular patient stands out to me who changed the way I wanted to deliver a message around this problem of the aches and pains, the strain and pain and drain that people come in with that they've just gotten used to. And I remember this beautiful girl, she was a student. She'd finished year 12 the year before, came in to see me when she was at university, high achiever, had worked hard and got into the course she really wanted to get into and was doing well, but she came in complaining of the most severe pain in her back, neck, shoulders, and pretty much constant headaches. It was debilitating for her. And when I questioned her a bit more about her history and asked her all these questions, I remember saying, now, can you remember when this started, the very first time you noticed, if you can think back that far? And she said to me, Kim, I can never remember in my whole high school life ever not feeling back, neck, shoulder pain, and ever not having to have days off school and missing out on things because of headaches and pain. I was so sad. I was pretty much in tears, and so was she, because the enormity of the situation was just so overwhelming for her. She didn't know how to break that cycle. She had not felt, in quotes, normal without pain, and it had really marred her life. She'd missed out on a lot of not only focused study time, even though she was still doing well, she couldn't function at her best at all. And she'd missed a lot of social opportunities and events and time away from school and study, things that she was also really keen to do. She couldn't participate in because of this debilitating pain, and particularly the headaches and the fogginess in her head. So after we'd worked together just for a short time, I set her up for success with lots of little tips and tricks, strategies around her posture advice, her desk setup, her targeted stretches and exercises that worked really well for her. When she was supported with all this knowledge and really equipped and inspired in the ways that she knew worked for her and her body, that could help her to not have that recurrence of pain and strain at her desk, her life pretty much turned around. And I realized that she wasn't the only one, especially when I started then going into schools and workplaces and talking to people about how they felt when they were sitting at their desk, trying to do their best. So many people were suffering. They were not feeling great. They were feeling fatigued and really sluggish. They were feeling trapped in this cycle of feeling tight and tense and stiff and sore and putting up with symptoms that really weren't the way their body was meant to feel, but they'd just become used to it. So I decided that it was time to spread the message far and wide and try and help as many people as I could by getting out into communities and helping people understand all these little things. Some of them are very simple, but when you know how you can help yourself to feel great and function even better, your whole life can feel so much more inspired and you can start to live the life of your dreams rather than succumbing from mental ill health, physical ill health, pain and drain. So that's the heart behind why we started the Be Fit to Sit movement. Now, getting back to why we actually need to be fit to sit, I wanted to start also a little bit of a conversation around this concept of physical resilience. And I alluded to it earlier. Physical resilience is about our bodies being able to adapt to the challenges we face. So I'll say to kids at school, when you're running around in the playground, what if someone bumps you? Do you easily fall to the ground, or are you robust enough to just brush it off and keep going? Obviously, it depends on the force of the bump. But that's a little example about being physically resilient to withstand challenges to our body. Now, do you know that when you're sitting, there is a huge challenge to our body? It's called gravity. And gravity on our body when we're sitting is such an extreme force that that's part of the reason we need to keep our bodies moving. We do not want to succumb to gravity as we sit down and just become more and more slumped. We need to know how we can switch on our anti-gravity, our anti-slouching muscles, how we can keep our bodies moving in more effective and efficient postures so that we're not just getting stiff and tight and reducing our overall flexibility and ending up with a really poor posture. We also want to try and maintain what we've got, maintain our stamina and our strength, and also improve it. Did you know that if you do the littlest things, but often when you're working, whether you're sitting or standing at your desk, you can actually start to improve your endurance and improve your strength and improve your flexibility. It's amazing how you can develop your physical resilience. And yes, gym and specific targeted strength and cardiovascular exercise outside of work time is awesome. It's certainly super beneficial, but just because we're at a desk working, as I said, either sitting or standing, it doesn't mean that we just have to be, oh, this is the way it is, and there's nothing we can do to feel better. There are so many amazing ways that you can mix things up so you can actually work on improving your physical resilience so that you are feeling fitter as you work and not feeling worse as you work. Physical resilience also means that you can recover effectively from the demands on your body so that, you know, you're not taking strain and stiffness and soreness from an overload on one day into the next day. You're able to bounce back. We can all relate to resilience, whether it's mental or physical, as bouncing back without feeling really awful. So physical resilience is no different to mental health and resilience. We need to be able to recover effectively so that we can keep our bodies going and improve from day to day. So when we're talking about how we want to feel in our bodies, it's really important that our physical resilience is up to a standard so that we can be really capable to do what we have to do and also what we want to do, so that we can, yes, run around with our kids after school or our grandkids or participate in the sports we want to participate in, that we're not hampered by painful areas or feeling like we're not strong enough or don't have the endurance enough. We also want to feel confident. So our physical resilience encompasses our confidence in moving and performing and using our bodies so that we can actually achieve what we want to achieve and are not held back by not feeling like, oh, I don't think I can do that. I really want to help you be more confident in your body. It is also amazing to explore the creativity in how we can move. It does not have to be the same old stretches, the same old movements that are familiar to you. We can be creative and find a way that really works for you, that you love and enjoy moving. We also want to inspire creative learners and creative workers. And we know that moving our body switches on amazing areas in our brain that really improves creativity. So that's a fantastic benefit of moving and being more physically resilient. The other thing that is super exciting about being more physically resilient is that you can concentrate better. Our attention, our retention, our memory is just so much better, and our focus when we have been moving. So there's lots of studies around, I'll share them as we go, to demonstrate how concentration, our productivity is so more superior when we have been moving around more and not just sitting, waxing and waning at our desk, getting more tired and more sluggish. It all comes together as we boost our metabolism and boost our energy levels by starting to do a little bit more movement, a little bit more regularly. So little bits often can make a massive difference in your day and how you end up feeling and functioning at your desk. So I hope that gives you a little bit of insight into what it means to be fit to sit in my world. And being fit to sit will mean something different to you. So have a little think. What do you think being fit to sit means for you? What would you really like to achieve that you maybe haven't thought possible? Or how would you really like to feel that you think is, oh, I just am sick of feeling really sore. I'm sick of feeling really tired and tense, and I don't really know what to do about it. They're the sorts of things that we really want to try and address and inspire you to break out of the cycle of through this Be Fit to Sit podcast. I'll be bringing on guests, but also sharing some of my experience and expertise around the concept of feeling amazing while we work. We won't always be talking about sitting, because of course moving and standing at our desks is an option as well. So we'll cover off on all your questions around the difference between sitting and standing, the exercises you can do, posture advice for you, and also sprinkle in lots of ideas about how you can be regularly moving to break that cycle of sluggishness, stiffness, and soreness at your desk in a really effective manner. One other aspect of creating healthy self-care habits is also around how we use our devices and how much time we spend at screens. I'm sure you're all aware that we really are starting to spend a lot of time on screens. We're spending a lot of time using our devices, and most of the time we would be doing that in sitting. So we want to talk about some healthy boundaries around screen and device use. Yes, technology is amazing, but it has its negative side effects, and we'll delve into that a little bit more through different episodes of the Be Fit to Sit podcast. You might have heard that quote, sitting is the new smoking. And so as we talk about being fit to sit, we're going to look into the problems that come with sitting too much. There is definitely lots of research coming out around how poor it is for our health to be sedentary for any length of time. And in general, we're spending so much more time sitting, whether it's at our desk, whether it's commuting, whether it's on the couch, on our devices, gaming, watching Netflix. We're spending so much more as a general population all across the world sitting. The problem is also quite severe for our next generation coming through, because they're spending much more time sitting, and particularly at screens, than we ever were in my generation. So we want to help inspire kids into understanding how they can be not avoiding those activities totally. We all need to use screens, and they need to, particularly a lot of them for their studies as well, but how they can use it in a healthy manner and understand the risks involved if they don't. I've been going into schools now for a couple of years, and it's amazing to me, firstly, how many kids will actually put their hand up saying how they feel quite a lot of pain, a lot of strain, a lot of poor mood, and they'll admit to this when they have been using devices, sitting on screens for a long time. And in fact, a lot of them are looking for answers, especially high schoolers who are spending a lot of time studying and tertiary students spending a lot of time poring over computers and laptops and really trying to get the best out of their bodies. A lot of them are struggling and they're looking for answers. So they're open to suggestions and they're really good at discussing healthy options around what might suit them when seeds are planted about how they can turn things around. So I'm really passionate about bringing that discussion to the fore. How can we help our next generation not succumb to those side effects of screen time and using devices, but move forward with healthier postures, break that cycle of poor metabolism and obesity and poor mental health that comes along with sitting and spending so much time on screens and devices. There definitely is a physical side of that we'll talk about. And we definitely can change things. It's not too late. If we can get the message out to as many kids as possible, as many students as possible, and also as many of us as adults and parents and team leaders as possible, because we want to be good examples. We want to be equipped with the right knowledge to be able to give correct advice and really empowering advice that helps develop physical resilience, that helps encourage sustainable self-care strategies and really empower our next generation to not be stuck sitting at their desks and poring over screens and devices, getting tech neck and sitting disease and texting thumb and all the mental health, so many mental health issues that come with not understanding the dangers of prolonged screen and device use. So I hope that has given you a little taste of what's to come. I'm really excited about sharing more with you along the journey of the Be Fit to Sit podcast. And for now, please share the Be Fit to Sit podcast with your friends and colleagues and family members, with your community, so that we can get the word out about how we can do simple little things, but do them often, to be fit to sit and feel and function our best at our desk. Please subscribe to the Be Fit to Sit podcast, and I can't wait to share more episodes with you soon. Bye for now.